Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how are you? Joanne Barton on Applause Radio Show. We've got a great show tonight. I'm excited. I used to read the Med magazines all the time. My brothers bought them, and I always loved the art in them. Believe it or not, they were cartoons, but they're really talented, and I always enjoyed that. And of course, the jokes are fabulous. But so tonight we've got a great guest with us tonight. He's a cartoonist and writer for Med magazine, Kit Lively. So let's say thanks to our sponsors, and we'll get going. So. We've got the Hive Barn Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kitnesville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Lenoka Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer in Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, and GenieBottles.com. Hi, I think we have on the line Kit Lively and maybe a bunch of other people. Who's in the background? I hear lots of noise.
Hey, Joanne. No, that's probably just me shuffling about, and my nervous tics are probably creating some sort of ruffling noises or something. There's plenty of those to go around.
Oh, no, it sounded like people talking. I'm sorry. Well, Kit, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, Kit Lively. So I'm excited to talk to you. I was a huge fan of Mad magazines. Like I said, my brothers bought it. I don't think it was really a girls' magazine when we were, you know, kids. So, I mean, you know, but I read it. I loved it. And the artwork is just fabulous. I always thought it was really good how they – the images were real, the cartoon, you know, it was, they were great. So, I mean, I haven't seen a Mad magazine in quite some time, and the one you sent, oh, it's just so apropos right now. It's got Trump on the cover with Putin, and it's autographed, folks, and it's really nice. And in my other hand, believe it or not, I've got this book, Twisted Tongues, that you just wrote, and I got to tell you about it. Is this written, what is the age range this is written for?
Hey, and first of all, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here as well. But yeah, the Twisted Tongues book is it's for kids and preteens, I guess, would probably
be. No,
it's like for ages 7 to 12.
This is a drinking book. This is a drinking book. I was reading it
could
and
very
I'm like, oh
easily.
My Oh my God.
I was drinking a lot when I wrote it. So that would definitely
work.
We'll get
to that. I was just dying to ask you because I was thumbing through it and I'm like trying to say the limericks and everything. I'm like, oh my God, this is a great drinking game too. Because I said, I think it's for kids, but yeah, well, not kids, but you know, teens, 20s, who knows,
yeah,
right?
I always try to, even when I'm writing stuff for kids, to make it, I try not to use that as an excuse, you know, to dumb it down or anything. I try to make everything as funny, you know, as it would be on something I were writing for Mad or something, you know, like a more of a satirical piece for adults. I always want it to be
right,
as funny as it can be. And so I took that same approach when I was writing the book, and I was like, well, this is you know, a book for, you know, for preteens and so on. But I still wanted it to be, you know, as funny as if you were, especially if you were an adult with an extremely immature sense of humor, that you would be able to enjoy it as well.
That's good. That's good. I'm telling you, I would push it as a drinking game too.
Whatever angle
I really
you
would.
Take,
exactly. So how long have you been with Mad?
I hate to be the one to lower the boom on you, but Mad has pretty much has kind of petered out.
How long were you with them? I know.
I was with them. For the most part, like around 12, 13 years, but it kind of took a while for things to really pick up. Like, I sold one thing and then I sold another thing 2 years later. And then I sold a third thing, you know, like a year after that. And by the time I sold that third thing, I started appearing in the majority of issues. So as far as being a regular, probably close to 10 years.
Wow. Nice. That it must be a really cool job. Or was it? Is
it was
it hard? Was it hard?
To,
is it hard
I'm
to
sorry,
come
was
up
it
with
hard?
Things?
You
know, with
I mean,
topics
was,
and.
I would say it was probably more difficult to get stuff in the magazine than it was to come up with ideas. I was able to come up with ideas pretty regularly, and of course the quality of those ideas may have varied greatly from one to the other. But Matt is notoriously difficult to get material into. So I mean, I had a lot of stuff rejected, which I mean, at least fortunately in cases like that, you can repurpose them and you know, sell them to someone else. But and in fact, that was something that my oftentimes collaborator Scott Nickel and I, we both did a lot of stuff for Mad. And we discovered that there were foreign versions of Mad. And we were able to get our hooks into both the German Mad and the Australian Mad. And whenever we would get rejected, which again was quite often, we would turn around and sell them to German and Australian Mad more often than not. So we were able to keep a steady, you know, source of material moving.
And where were you? Was writing in your cards or more cartooning, more art?
I started out more of a like single panel gag cartoonist for magazines, and every now and then I would write an article, but mostly it was single panel gag cartoons. And then the more I moved on and got into, you know, bigger magazines and bigger magazines and bigger magazines where there's more competition, my artwork was not really faring well next to some of the other artists. Not that my writing is anything to write home about either, but my drawing was really not competitive. And also, I would just get really frustrated with it, and it would take me a long time to work on through ideas because the art was never matching the way I wanted it to look. So ultimately, I cultivated this group of other cartoonists and artists that I would work with, and I would send them the ideas, and then we would submit them to the magazine. And in many instances, also with Matt in particular, I would just send them either a written idea or a sketch, and then they would assign it to an artist you know, of their choosing.
Mm. Right, right. You give the tagline and all that, and they would draw the artwork behind it.
Right, exactly.
Right. Well, that's great. Now, when did you realize you wanted to be a cartoonist, or were you a doodler in school, and are you a really great artist and said, I want to go to art school? Or tell us the story about how you got started in cartooning or art in general.
It was, I mean, the way my mom tells it, she put me down on the floor with a piece of paper and a pencil because my dad's an artist, and she was just curious to see if it had made, you know, the genetic leap. And apparently I picked up the pencil and just started drawing with it. And so I was constantly doodling, but it really didn't become what I, well, not like it was a great stretch of time. I guess when I was like 8 or 9 years old was when the first time I saw an issue of Mad, and that, and I remember feeling like I'd, you know, been struck by a particularly cruel bolt of lightning. And I just, I remember thinking to myself, again, even though I was 8 or 9 years old, I said, I don't know what this is, but I feel like my life has changed in some way, even though I'm not really sure how or what that even means. And then I just knew immediately that's what I wanted to do. So I began making my own little homemade humor magazines that I would sell to kids in the neighborhood. And that sort of just continued through high school. And once I discovered National Lampoon, you know, the jokes got a little meaner. But I continued in high school, and then was the editor of the humor magazine in my college. And so I just kind of kept moving and moving. And wherever I was creating humor magazines and getting them into people's hands. And then when the dean of the college I was going to was receiving complaints about the material in the magazine, and they told me to cease publication, I decided to keep publishing the magazine, but just sell it through the mail. And that's where I got the attention of Joe Bob Briggs, and he really liked the magazine, and so started using a lot of my stuff in his magazine. And that's where things kind of started to take off professionally, and people started to see my stuff more.
Wow. And but that's what you wanted to do, or were you working full time and submitting and doing these books, or school?
Oh yeah, it was always what I wanted to do. My drawing skills were never really strong enough to major in art, and again, even though I enjoyed doodling, it wasn't really what I enjoyed as much as coming up with the jokes and writing bits and so on. So when I was in college, I majored in English with an emphasis on creative writing, and that's where I spent most of my time there.
So you had the talent for the cartooning, the drawing, but you went to school to hone the writing aspect to come up with better ideas and whatnot.
I mean that certainly helped, but I just, yeah, my drawing was never strong enough to be anything beyond cartoony, which was fine for the kind of jokes I was telling. It fit the jokes, but it just wasn't something that I felt that I did strongly enough to spend as much time as it was taking.
Right, right. Well, for you guys out there, you've probably also seen Kit's work in Playboy and Hustler, and you've had some you do a lot of work for them too, right?
I started out there, I think, which is a common story for a lot of cartoonists and humor writers. You kind of get started in doing cartoons and writing jokes for for some of the nudie magazines, and it was a place to to get your feet wet, no pun intended or anything, and it's just something that you could. It was a really open market, and you could sell a lot of stuff, and you could get a lot of work on your resume. Now Playboy, of course, is a different thing. It's not really, since it's not really considered a nudie mag. But that didn't come till later. But when I was first starting out, it was like Hustler and Swank and, these slightly, more disreputable magazines.
And you also, you do work with SpongeBob SquarePants too, right? Is it for the TV show, or is it for a strip? What is it?
Right, yeah, on the exact opposite of Hustler is, the SpongeBob. And that's, it was for
when you're talented, you cover all your bases, and you write for whoever you want to write for, and
you got to spread yourself around. Again, no pun intended.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Would you stop? I wasn't expecting jokes.
I wasn't either. I never know when they're going to turn up. I just kind of fall out.
That's good.
Yeah, but SpongeBob, it was the comic book, David DeGrand and I, the guy who illustrated the book, the Twisted Tongues book. He and I did a lot of stuff for Mad, and then we did a lot of stuff for SpongeBob, the comic book, and we've always worked well together. So we always seem to find ourselves collaborating on projects.
Mm-hmm. And Twisted Tongues, the new book, is that your only book, or is this one of many?
It's my second book of just myself.
Oh, wow.
I've got stuff in other books. Like, I've got a lot of stuff in Mad books and so on, some National Lampoon books that have, you know, my work among the work of others. But as far as just books that are primarily my own, and then in the case of Twisted Tongues, where I wrote it with someone else and David illustrated it, I've got Twisted Tongues, and then my first book was called Damn It, I Swallowed Another One. And it was just a collection of cartoons from like National Lampoon and Cracked and stuff, just like single panel cartoons.
Mm. Hey guys, this is a great stocking stuffer right now for the kids. My kids, if they were teenagers, I bet they'd get a kick out of this book. I'm going to pick one, and I can't say it. So if you can imagine doing this drunk. Here's one. Big pigs pick snout. Wait, now the level twist, does that mean I got to say it six times fast?
Well, that just means, like, on a scale from 1 to 10, how difficult it is. But, I mean, like I said, I can't even do some of the 2 and 3s. I ride them, but I can't do them.
All right, let me try. Big pigs pick snout's not. Big pigs pick snout's not. No, see, I can't do it. And now at the bottom, you've got these little, these little inserts here. Are these true?
Yeah, the facts that are in there are actually, and in many cases, unfortunately, true. The facts part is true, and then we kind of, you know, tried to put a little jokey spin on it, but the actual facts are true, which I agree is quite disturbing.
Wow, but listen to this one. Check this out, Kit. Check this out. The page I opened to, and I literally just opened it, says, if this is true, the speeds of sneezes have been measured up to 100 miles per hour, shooting out as many as 100,000 contagious germs. Wow, and it's coronavirus, and I picked that. That's crazy.
Oh, see,
wow.
It's very relevant for.
And yeah, for you need to know this, people. Yeah, wear a mask, damn it.
Yeah,
it goes 100 miles an hour. My God, jeez. Well, how long's the book been out right now?
It actually just a little over a month. It came out the end of September, yeah.
Mm. Wow. Well, I love it. I love the Mad magazine, too. I just thumbed through
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's, I think that there may be some crossover appeal there at some point, you know.
No, I love it. I love it. Oh, my God. I'm kind of glad nobody's listening live. They're probably watching the election, and will listen later. So if nobody calls, they're not getting it tonight, so I get to hold it for another day.
the election happened for a reason.
No. We're planning on doing a king. We're planning on doing. I have a gentleman. He's a DJ. He's been on for years, and he proclaims to be, and he'll tell you, the self-proclaimed king of trivia. So I said, you know what? I've got lots of things. I'm gonna if that's okay with you, I'm gonna put it in our treasure chest for giveaways.
Yeah,
if that's okay.
Totally.
If no one gives us a call.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely. Well, is there anything you want to add to let people know about the book or anything like that?
I would like to mention, if it's okay, I'm currently the editor of, or managing editor of Weekly Humorist, which is a website, a satirical website. And we've been actually doing really well recently. We've gotten placed on a couple of those, you know, the top 10, you know, humor sites you should be reading every day. We've been on a couple of those lists, and we're getting
what
some.
Exactly, Kit, what exactly is that Weekly Humorist? What is it? Tell us about it. What is it?
Yeah, it's a an internet, you know, humor magazine, sort of similar to, and not exactly as far as material wise,
it's a magazine. It's an online magazine.
Yeah, it's
I'm
articles
sorry. I thought
and
it was,
No. That's okay.
I thought people were acting out, or they were memes or something. You know, no, you know what I mean?
Oh, I got. And in fact, we actually do sponsor a number of comedy shows in Manhattan. So
oh,
that
really?
Would be kind of like people acting out. But so it's kind of like a new comedy name brand. But the actual centerpiece is the. The website, which we update every day, and there's, you know, stories and parodies and cartoons, and we have writers from Conan O'Brien's show and from most of the late night TV shows and from SNL. And again, it's very they should not be allowing me to be the managing editor of it with the pedigree of a lot of the writers and the cartoonists who work here. But it's a very it's actually a surprisingly classy operation, again, considering that I'm involved. And we're starting to get involved into some other media. We've got our new short film out that's at festivals. Mm. And so it's really taking off, and it's a really funny website. So I did just want to mention that if people want to go by and check it out.
Excellent. Weeklyhumorist.com.
Weeklyhumorist.com, yes, ma'am.
Got it. I will write that down. I wanted to ask you, before I forget, because this always happens, I forget to ask a question after I speak to you. I read somewhere that your house is made of earwax. Is this true?
Well, not the whole thing, but the foundation and, like, you know.
Oh, you're kidding me? Wait. This is true?
No. I just did that to irritate my wife because I mentioned her name in that same section, and I knew that it would irritate her if I said that we lived in a house made of earwax, and we've been together for the better part of 20 years. So one of the last pleasures we have with each other is me irritating her. You know, so
I'm sure you irritate her. Yes, I'm sure with your humor.
Around the clock.
Exactly. I mean, in a good way, fun way. I mean, you know.
I don't know. I don't know if she thinks I'm funny anymore, but yeah.
Oh well. You
Again,
know. It does get old after a while.
It very quickly, but much more quickly than 20 years.
Yeah. So where can everybody get the book?
Now the book should be if anyone's willing to brave the outdoors, which I'm not recommending that anyone do, but if you happen to be out and about anyway, and you're, you know, wanting to take a little caution and throw it to the wind, it is available at most bookstores. I know for sure it's available it should be available like at all Barnes and Nobles, but it should be available at like Books a Million and just all bookstores. But then, of course, as you know, everything these days, it's available online. You know, Amazon and Barnes and Noble, and just, you know, pretty much any online bookseller.
Right. Are you since this is came out so great? Are you working on anything else? Or did some ideas come up out of writing this book to do another one?
We actually, David and I have been, David DeGrand and I have been approached by our editor on this one about coming up with ideas for our next book. And so we have pitched a few ideas, and he's come back to us with the ones that he likes. And so now the next step, of course, is just seeing, you know, how far up the ladder that goes. So hopefully Twisted Tongues does well enough to where they're like, well, even though we think their new idea is crappy, this book did okay, so maybe the next book will do okay too. So we're just kind of waiting to hear back and see. But they seem to, you know, like how the Twisted Tongues turned out, and so hopefully we'll be working on our next book soon.
Good, good. Well, it was a pleasure talking to you, kid. I'm glad we got to know
each
other. And
absolutely.
Yeah, I had fun. I had fun. Thank you. And
me
again,
too.
I love it. I love it. And if I give the Mad Magazine out, yeah, I'm going to have to send me another one. I'm sorry.
Fair enough.
I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding.
No.
Well, I thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'd love it. I'd love to keep it as a keepsake. So, but love it. Thank you so much. Yeah, so, well, thanks. Well, you take care. Good luck with the book. If anything comes up, reach out to me. Let me know. We'll come back on. We'll chat.
I absolutely will. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Joanne.
All right. Well, good luck with the book, and thank you so much again. Kit Lively, everybody. Check it out, the new book, Twisted Tongues, on Amazon, everywhere. You can get a book. Go to a store or all bookstores, all online bookstores, and check it. It's really cute, and it's definitely a drinking game, I think. I mean, I can't say it, and I don't even drink, and I can't say this stuff. So, but check it out, folks. You'll love it. You'll love it. Kit, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody else. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, I don't know about you, but I liked Mad Magazine. I always liked when they had it around the house. And this is so cool, though. It's in beautiful color. Oh, I forgot to ask him. I always forget. I knew it. I wanted to ask, but I forgot who... Alfred E. Newman, the character of Mad Magazine, is based off of. I know, and I just cannot think of it. It's in the back of my head somewhere. But anyway, we've got a great month coming up, too. Paper, shuffle, sorry. Where am I? Oh, on the 8th, right? Sunday. On the 8th, we've got Robin Rosencrantz and Michael Glover, I believe, from Blue Gorilla, and they've got a new movie out called 36 Husbands, and it looks funny, and I love the not the theme song, but the theme song, yeah, it's really good. And on the 10th, Mr. Anson Williams from Happy Days is going to be joining us again. Oh, and on Wednesday, the 11th, we're going to do something like a Veterans Day type of thing. And I've got Bobby Pelleggi from Aloha Music, and he's got this band called Hana. I believe I'm pronouncing it correct. I'm not sure if it's Hana or Hanna. And I think if it's Hawaii, I'm thinking it's Hana, but I could be wrong. I've never been to Hawaii, so. But they've got this new song out called I'm an American, Yeah, by Hana, and it's really good. And maybe something we need right now. And then songwriter Rick Ryan. We're going to see a lot of Rick Ryan this month. Rick Ryan has been around, man. He's got this song he wrote with Crosby, Stills, and Nash called, I believe it's Homebound, He's Going to Kill Me. And we're going to play Homeland. I think that's it, Homeland. And he wrote it with Crosby, Stills, and Nash. It's actually on their album. And we're going to play their two songs and get to know the guys. I know you met Rick before, but he's a really great guy. So, and then we are off the air on the 15th. Tim Bruckner on the 18th. He is a sculptor and artist for DC Comics. He also did umpteen album covers. So remember album covers? Yeah, how cool. Another job taken away. Anyway, and then Rick Ryan and Betty Ford Stewart are going to be back. Rick's going to be back on the 22nd, and Buffy Ford Stewart. We're going to do a JFK special. Rick also has a song about JFK, and Buffy knew the Kennedys extremely well, and she's also a singer, and she's got a background in the Monkees and all the 60s. And then on the 24th, we've got Hank Garrett, actor Hank Garrett. You guys, once you see his picture, you'll know who he is. And on the 25th, Coco Dolenz. And since it's monkey theme month, I guess you could say. And I don't know if you guys know this, but I don't even want to tell you now because I want you to listen to it. But she actually toured with the Monkees, so I'll leave it at that. And you won't believe in what capacity. So, and on the 27th, radio host Steve Cannon. I want you guys to meet Steve. He's a wonderful guy. He's been in the radio industry for many, many years. He's a sweetheart. And he proclaims to be the king of trivia. And I want to see if he could stump me. I said he's got to be easy on me, though. I can't go too far back. My memory's shot. And maybe 50 songs maybe I could do. I don't know. I can't do anything further than that. We're going to be giving away prizes. So we're going to introduce the King of Trivia as we meet Steve. And then we're going to do a King of Trivia night once a month. So that's going to be cool. And hopefully you guys call into play. And then on the 29th, Buffy Ford Stewart's coming back. And we're going to talk about her music career, her affiliation with the Monkees and whatnot. She will be on the 22nd, but that's dedicated to JFK. So I don't know if you guys remember, but the 22nd was the day he got assassinated. So kind of keeping this month a little American as can be, I guess. And December shaping up, so that looks great. So thank you again, everybody, for listening. I appreciate it. Thanks to the High Bar Bistro in Garfield, New Jersey, Precious Memory Video in Kittnersville, Pennsylvania, KWV Wines in South Africa, Tees for the Times and Other Stuff in Clifton, New Jersey, Syntech Productions in Local Harbor, New Jersey, Oleander Public Relations in Texas, Take a Break from Cancer.org for Pete's Sake, The Observer Newspaper in Kearney, New Jersey, and Joey Max Cafe in Harrison, New Jersey, where oral satisfaction is guaranteed. They got the best hot dogs. Check it out. And GenieBottles.com. Oh, you got to go there. If you are a collector or just loving to have, just having cool stuff, I call it cool stuff. And I like it. I don't know. I was told I like weird shit, but what can I say? And no, I'm not a hoarder, as I've been told to. So, GenieBottles.com. If you guys are in love with I Dream of Genie, or if you're a fan, or even if you're not, I mean, it's the coolest thing. Artist Mario Della Casa, he makes these bottles. They are replicas of the I Dream Genie bottles on the show, and he does such beautiful artwork on them. And he's got many designs, and I think he's doing a Christmas special. I'm not sure. So you guys might want to check that out at his website, GenieBottles.com. But I don't know. I wouldn't mind having one. So that's me. Like I said, I like I'm weird, but I got a lot of stupid stuff around the house. But to me, I love it. So it's not stupid. So thank you all for listening. Appreciate it. Thanks so much to Kit Lively. I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much for autographing the magazine and your book, and we will be sure to give it away to somebody when we do King of Trivia, for sure. All right, well, take care, everybody. Hey, listen, there's a lot going on out there. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but whatever happens, let's be kind to each other, okay? So I'm going to end it with be kind. I'm sorry. I know you're probably sick of hearing my voice, but sometimes I need a little push, so here we go.